I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, and I want to consider the topic in my meetings with you of our great salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says that we have a so great salvation. And we want to take a look at what the aspects of our salvation is in Christ. And I want to use as a launching pad, so to speak, Isaiah chapter 12. Some of you are familiar, of course, with these verses. Isaiah the prophet reminds us in verse 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Then verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." It's interesting. It's referred to here as the wells of salvation. I don't know if you ever stood at an actual well and considered how deep it is. We put a well in a few years back at our home to sprinkle, you know, the yard, but use the water from the underground system. And the person who went down with that well told me it was 80 feet deep. And so there's actual river or stream 80 feet down. That's a pretty good distance. And I've stood at a well at various times at a mouth of a well, and I would drop down a little stone or something like that to see how deep it was. I'd listen and I'd listen. I'd be waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, I heard that stone hit the bottom of that well. And I said, that's pretty deep. And so wells are indeed deep. People say, well, that's a deep subject. And it is indeed a deep subject. And what we'd like to do is not make it a deep subject here. We want to do it in a simple way. You know, Paul said he didn't want to, he was worried about the Corinthians because their simplicity in Christ was jeopardized. We want to keep things simple, but we also want to explore some of these great truths. And here in these verses, we're told that salvation is like the well of salvation, wells of salvation. And it's interesting it's referred to that way, because wells are deep indeed. And God's Word tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So there are things that are on the surface that all of us can appreciate, but there's also things that are further down, deeper down. And well is deep, and so you have to go down and get that water. And so maybe the reason why God refers to it here as the wells of salvation is because these refer to some of the deeper things of the truths of God. Perhaps it's has that metaphor of the wells of salvation because when you think of a well and the water that's down there, it takes some effort to bring that water up. And so it takes effort to do Bible study, to study the Word of God, and to dig thoroughly into the Scriptures and mine some of the gold that's there. A few years back, a number of years back now, we took a group to Alaska. It was a group, I think, about 42 people or so. And one of the events that we had in this trip to Alaska was to go to a gold mine, an actual gold mine. And so they brought us to the sluice there, you know, where the water runs down through those a wooden trough, and they gave us our pan so that we could mine some of this gold. And it was interesting because there were little speckles of gold that were on top, and you could reach for them. You could see them right there. It didn't take a lot of work. God's Word is like that too. There's some things that are right on the surface, wonderful truths that anybody can, a believer in the Lord Jesus, can mine. But Proverbs chapter 2 reminds us that we have to dig for truths and dig deep. So take some effort. So maybe the reason why it's referred to here as the wells of salvation is because it takes some effort to bring that refreshment up. It takes elbow grease is what we used to call it. Elbow grease made really hard work to do that. So that takes some effort to do that. Notice here it says the wells of salvation. It doesn't say the well. It says the wells of salvation. So there are plural reference to plural of wells. So there are a number of different truths that are worth going after. And then fourthly, maybe it's called a well because what is brought up is quite refreshing. any water that I know that's in a well is always cold water, but cold and refreshing water. And when we study the Word of God, we know that it's refreshing to the soul. When a person has trusted the Lord Jesus, and as they walk the Christian life, and as they encounter difficulties and challenges in the Christian life, they know that in this world around us is a wilderness wide. But when we come to the Word of God, we tap into the hidden springs. And we lose things that are not easily seen. And when we do that, then we get that refreshment. We work for it. We see the Word of God there. We go through the trials of our affliction, whatever it might be. And we come up with refreshing truths from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps us understand these truths. So here is the reference to the wells of salvation. What I'd like to do in the meetings that I will be with you, Lord willing, over the next 2 weeks, is to invite you to come with me and look at some of the wells of salvation that the Scriptures are referring to. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, think about it for a second. In the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus is called the author of eternal salvation. So there's that well, the author of eternal salvation. The opening scriptures in Hebrews tells us that he's the author and finisher of faith. Or rather, chapter 12, I'm sorry, of Hebrews. Author and finisher of faith. He's the captain of our salvation. That reminds us of the fact that he is committed to guiding us and directing us and leading us into triumph and things in Christ. So he is the captain of our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is exhorting the Ephesians and reminding them they need to put on the various armors, the armor of God, pieces of the armor of God. And one of those is the helmet of salvation. Another passage talks about the hope of that salvation, the helmet of the hope of salvation. So there's the helmet of salvation, the captain of salvation. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that we're the heirs of salvation. We have a great reward awaiting us, an inheritance, and then also rewards. I spoke on that in previous years right here, the crowns that are there for the Christian. So we are heirs of salvation. And there are a number of other things as well. The day of salvation, the nearness of our salvation. Paul told the Romans, he said, we are closer than when we first believed. So there are a number of different, what I consider, wells of salvation all the way through the Scriptures. And each one of these specific truths is a mine in itself. It's a jewel in itself. And as we dig for these things and we look at the Scriptures and apply them to our hearts personally in our own walk with Christ, then there's a refreshment that comes over our soul. You know, not a lot of refreshment out there, is there? The psalmist said, "All my springs are in thee." And if we're trying to find our refreshment from the things of this world, we'll come up very empty. But the Word of God is there for us. It's recorded for us. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away, the Lord said. And so we have the reminder of the wells of salvation. The first one I'd like to take a look at is found in Psalm 116. So let's just turn a few pages back. We'll look at a couple passages in the Scriptures this evening as we consider this subject, the so great salvation that we have in Christ. Psalm 116. As you're turning, let me remind you that when it says so great salvation, it's like a diamond with a lot of facets. Some of you ladies here will have a diamond ring on your hand. And if you hold that right up to the light, what's called scintillation, that's bright flash to it, the sparkle that makes a diamond, very very valuable jewel. You'll see there's different facets to it. And no matter what way you turn it, you can see another angle of that beauty and that glory that's part of that gem, that diamond. And God's salvation is like that too. It's, yes, one part of it is understanding that we'll be saved and saved forever because of the work of Christ. But as we turn that jewel of salvation around, we'll see different facets of it, and we'll understand that it's far more than we thought. Those wells of salvation, something that's deep, there's more to it than we realize, more than meets the eye. And it's a powerful thing and a beautiful thing as we consider these in the Scriptures. So Psalm 116, tells us of one of these wells of salvation. The psalmist has gone through a deep trial in his own life. He starts out the psalm, verse 1. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. Isn't that wonderful? That's one of those aspects of the wells of salvation. The Lord listens to the prayers of his people. We're not just talking to a carved image like the pagans did. We're talking to the Lord. He's a person. It's not a formula in terms of prayer. When I hear somebody make a reference to their prayers, it sounds very ritualistic. But we're talking to a person. We're talking to the King. We're talking to the King, and we bring great petitions to the King, it says. We come to a King, great petitions that we should bring. For his power and grace are such that none can ever ask too much. And so we're coming to a King who loves us and cares for us. And so that's what the psalmist is bringing out here in this opening verse. He says, he's inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of Sheol got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Here is the cry of the psalmist because of the trouble he was going through. I don't know if you've ever gone through those deep trials. I think with the experience, depth of experience here in this room spiritually, that many of you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death at one time or another in your life. Maybe you're going through that right now. To know that you can call upon the Lord, that he's there to hear, just as the psalmist said. Look what it says in verse 5. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. What a tremendous phrase. Return to thy rest, O my soul. Here the psalmist is having a dialogue with his soul. He's speaking to his own person. This is what has been called or termed the sacred soliloquy, where the person is referring to himself. And he says, return to thy rest, O my soul. For thou hast delivered, verse 8, my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 10. I believe, therefore, I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And he comes through this whole trial and crisis in his faith. And in verse 12, he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? God had brought him through this trial, this valley. He says, this is what I'll do. Verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The cup of salvation. Now, he was a believer. He had a relationship with the Lord. So he's not talking about salvation in the sense that many people think of. He's referring literally to a cup that would have been offered perhaps in the offerings in the Old Testament that would have been filled with wine. Wine representing, speaking of cheer and joy. And taking that cup of wine and pouring it on the offering, on the sacrifice. And of course, it would evaporate it when it would hit the heat. But it was a demonstration of the thankfulness of the offerer. The offering would be there. The wine would go out. And it was a demonstration of the gratitude of the offerer. That's what he would do. He'd take the cup of salvation and give praise to the Lord. That's what the context of this whole psalm is. I believe, therefore, I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars, is when he's about ready to throw in the towel in terms of his walk with the Lord, his commitment. But the Lord brought him through, just like the Lord brings you through and me through time and time again. And I say, Lord, what can I do to thank you for these things? And in some ways, you could say the Lord is in heaven saying, all you have to do is say thanks, and thanks is good enough. I will render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me. What will I do? I will take the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows in obedience unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. That's a commitment to declare, because what God has done for me, I am going to make it my duty to tell others how great the Lord is. That's a real witness for the Lord. That's not to be quiet. Sometimes I speak to myself, you know, I'm out in the marketplace, so to speak, and out in town, come across people, and I have a discussion with somebody, wherever it might be, and I say to myself, oh, I should have said something for the Lord, just to insert, make somebody think, some small thing, just to say, the Lord is so good. You know, I find in my experience that if you talk to somebody and immediately encounter them and put them at odds by saying, you know, do you know the Lord and have you really read the Bible? Sometimes it makes people defenseless, or defensive, I should say. And they react against that. But sometimes they don't react when you just say, you know what? The Lord has been so good to me. This is what happened in my life. And this is how the Lord brought me through. They're not as defensive when they hear that type of testimony. And it piques their interest. Everyone likes a biography. There's programs on television that are about biographies. A whole channel and line of programs that talk about biographies. People want to hear how you got through situations. And so we give the testimony in that way. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will not keep my mouth shut, is what the psalmist is saying. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. You freed me. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He repeats it. It says, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And so the psalmist is reminding us, these wells of salvation, there is a cup of salvation. A cup that reminds us of our commitment to speak for the Lord and to the Lord in thanksgiving for what he's done for us. How he has brought us through in various situations. Now sometimes we want to wait until he brings us through that trial. But you know, there is a responsibility that every believer has to give thanks even in the midst of the trial. You know, in Hebrews it talks about the great heroes of the faith that became valiant in fight, in the battle. Sometimes we need to feel like we need to muster ourselves and our strength up and our encouragement up before we go into battle. That's what will get us through. God says, I'm with you. You go through the battle and I'll give you the strength in the midst of the battle. So he became valiant in fight, valiant in the battle. This is illustrated very nicely in the life of Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat. You know King Jehoshaphat, right? For some reason, he's gotten dubbed with the title Jumping Jehoshaphat. Now, I don't know why he's gotten the name Jumping Jehoshaphat. But all I know is that at a certain point in his experience, the Ammonites and the Moabites and the inhabitants of Mount Seir were all against him. He had not done anything in that episode. He had an episode, taken an alliance with wicked King Ahab and got himself into trouble out in the battlefield. Looked like it was curtains for Jehoshaphat, but he called out to the Lord. In the midst of his trial, he called out for the Lord, and the Lord miraculously delivered him. And Ahab, who had been dressed up in his street clothes, you might say, rather than royal robes, the archer just took a random shot with an arrow and hit Ahab between the joints of his armor. And by that night, he was mortally wounded, and by that night, he had died. But not Jehoshaphat. He called out for the Lord. That's the well. Those are the truths of the wells of salvation. The fact that we have a resource and a person to call out to in the midst of our trouble. The world knows nothing about that, do they? They go through their trials. And I remember saying this when I was a young believer. How can anybody ever approach the problems of life without the Lord? Just think about that. Going through the problems that all of us go through. Hospitalizations and life care needs and all the rest, even that were part of this prayer meeting earlier. How does somebody apart from the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit ever get through? It's an amazing. So you drive them to their knees and say, God, I need your help. Sometimes that's what happens. But we have a resource in the Lord Jesus, the person that we can call out to. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and he's heard my supplications. And so the psalmist is committed to thanking the Lord. One of the evidences of true Christian maturity and growth in Christ is a thankful heart. Colossians chapter 1 reminds us of that, doesn't it? It tells us that we should give thanks because he's made us partakers of the saints' inheritance in light. The thankfulness that should demonstrate and mark and characterize our lives. You know, I mentioned about Jehoshaphat. He got through his trial, but those other tribes or nations came against him. And this time when he went out into battle, he said to the people, neither know we what to do, our eyes are upon you, called out to the Lord. And as he went into battle, it's very interesting, he put the Levites in front, and they went out into battle praising the Lord. Did you read that portion? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Levites are leading the charge, and they are the praise singers, if you will. That's something to handle the problems. Job went through his trial, and he, after he lost everything, just stepped back and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that's a real thankfulness, and that's what the psalmist is going through right here. He's going through that exercise in his soul and realizing and acknowledging it. And he commits himself to say, I will offer, verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows in the Lord now in the presence of all his people. It's great to come across Christians who are thankful Christians. Makes a difference. You know, years ago, I was in charge of a sales department. And one of the things that they taught us to tell the people in the telemarketing department was to smile when you talk on the phone. They'd say, they'd even exhort us, and they say, take a mirror and put the mirror in front of the phone. And while you're talking to somebody who you can't see through the phone, nowadays you can see people through the phones, but then obviously you couldn't, say, as you are talking, smile, and it makes a difference. And it's wonderful to come across Christians who have what I call the glory of God in their radiance in their faces. The glow of God. Someone once called it the glory of God is like the glow of God. They see the presence of the Lord in their lives. It says in Acts chapter 4 that they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They had taken note they had been with Jesus. And when somebody is in the presence of the Lord in prayer and in the study of the Word, it's going to come through in the attitude and in the radiance reflected in their face. I always like Psalm 34. They looked unto him and were radiant or lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. It's taking the cup of salvation, thanking the Lord, calling upon the Lord all the time, calling upon him for help. These are the wells of salvation. This is one of them, the cup of salvation. The commitment to thank the Lord all the time, even in the midst of trial. Now, let me just invite you to turn to another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn for just a moment or two. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 5. For the context, just to ramp up. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and our consolation also abounds by Christ, and whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, So you shall also be of the consolation. Paul here is saying there's a consolation and a suffering. Paul said it to the Romans. He says it's the sufferings and the glory. Always pieced together, sufferings and glory. Sufferings and glory. Peter talks about it as well. But notice this in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that you were pressed out of measure, above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust will yet deliver us. Now for some of us, we have heard these verses, and especially this verse 10, used in a spiritual way so often, we forget really what the meaning of that verse is all about. Paul is making a reference here in the physical realm that he had been delivered from execution, physically, delivered from so great a death. And he was convinced that he would continue to be free to minister again. So it says, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us in future experiences in his persecution as a preacher of the gospel. That's the literal meaning of that verse. But there is a spiritual parallel, isn't there? What we have heard in many of our years of walking with the Lord is exactly what the Lord has done for us spiritually. He's delivered us from so great a death because of Christ. So great a death. We were lost in trespasses and sins, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Absolutely hopeless. Without hope with God in the world. Without hope at all. I've often asked myself, where would I be if the Lord hadn't found me? Maybe you've asked yourself that same question. What would I be doing right now? Where would I be? I wouldn't be here. Who knows if I'd be in Jersey or anywhere? What would I be doing if the Lord hadn't found me? Psalm 107 brings that wonderful truth out, different scenarios that are portrayed of how the Lord reaches down and touches somebody who's in despair privately in their personal life, or they're stubborn, and because they're stubborn, they were on their deathbed making foolish decisions. Someone being on a sick bed. Another scenario in that Psalm 107, somebody's out doing business on the great waters of the deep, just doing going about normal course of business and experiencing the problems of life, all those things. And then God wonderfully reaching into their experience. And so that's what God has done with us. He's delivered us from so great a death. So that's something to give thanks for, to take that cup of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. So great a death. Billy Graham tells a story, very interesting account, of a man who was practicing for the Olympics. And so one starlit night, and moonlit night, this Olympic diver decided he was going to practice some of his dives. So he went up on a diving board and walked out to the end of that diving board to take a dive into the pool below. He saw the silhouette image of himself very clear down below. And it caught him by surprise, so he stepped back off that diving board. He mustered up his strength and resolve again, went out to the edge of the diving board to take that dive into the pool below. And same thing, he saw that clear image of himself down below. So it caught him by surprise, so he backed away from the edge of the diving board, walked down the ladder, and to his surprise and horror, he found out that the pool had been emptied the night before. It would have been certain death for him if he had taken a dive. What saved him? Well, when he put his hands out at the end of that diving board, the silhouette below was that of a cross. It was his own silhouette. The cross delivered him from so great a death. And that's what the Lord has done for you and for me. By the cross of Christ, we've been so delivered from so great a death. a little boy was lost, and he didn't know how to get home in the big city. And he went to a policeman, and he said to the policeman, "Take me to the place where the church has the cross on it. When I see the cross, I'll know which way to get home." And that's what it is from a spiritual standpoint. The cross, the way of the cross, leads home. And so we've been delivered from so great a death, and we should never, ever forget the wonder of God's love and His mercy and His grace. That's what Ephesians 2 brings up. His great mercy, His great grace. God in His wonderful way preserved us and saved us. He brought somebody into your experience to share with you the gospel. Somehow, some way, love broke through, as the song says. And we've been so delivered from so great a death. But not only that, He continues to help us and to deliver us. I always love that verse found in Hebrews chapter 2. He is able to help those who are tempted. The "He is able" passages in the New Testament and some in the Old. Remember those three associates of Daniel who heard the decree of King Nebuchadnezzar at the sound of all that music? You got to bow down and worship the king. They said, "We're not going to bow down." Someone said they didn't bow, they didn't bend, they didn't burn. All those three associates of Daniel. And they were challenged. He said, "When you hear that sound," Nebuchadnezzar now personally gave it to John, "when you hear that sound, you better bow down to me." They said, "Our God is faithful. He is able to deliver us. And if He doesn't deliver, we'll never bow down to you." And the Lord did deliver them. And so God is able to deliver. He doth deliver. The present tense. He delivered us from so great a death. He continues to deliver us. And God, the Lord Jesus, will deliver us as well and get us through problems, help us through the trials and tribulations. Doesn't mean they're not there. But He's our great high priest. It's part of the offices of Christ. Someone mentioned it in prayer tonight. He's our mediator. He's our great high priest. He's our advocate. He's our captain. He's all these things, the offices of Christ. And He helps the heirs of salvation to get through their problems. And so He does deliver. And then finally it says, "In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." How will He yet deliver us? Well, that's in a future sense. From a spiritual standpoint, He delivers us from the presence of sin. We know a future day we'll be with Him in glory. And so the Lord will indeed deliver us from all that is part of this life. You know, some people have said, when we get to the streets of gold, boy, there's a little fine line to that. Did you know that it doesn't say streets of gold? Did you know that? There's only one street. Street of gold. Every Christian lives on Main Street in heaven. Only one street has a street of gold. And so that's what awaits the believer. The wonderful fact that we'll be delivered from the trials and tribulations of life. Song of Solomon says, when the shadows flee, we'll be out of here and with the Lord in glory. So He will yet deliver us. And so how thankful we are for all these things. The hymn that you may be familiar with goes this way. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. What is it? Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. That's a great hymn. And there's a few more that I had. I jotted down a few of these. There's another one that speaks of this great love that He has for us. Oh, drink the river of pleasure. I don't know if anybody has heard that one before. Oh, drink of the river of pleasure, a deep living stream of delight, the source of all blessings forever. It flashes in heaven's pure light. Oh, drink the river of pleasure and love. I feel it so deep in my soul. It gladdens the one who is born from above and maketh the wounded heart whole. That's because we are the objects of God's love. It's part of the salvation package that we have. You know, when I was a new Christian, Someone gave me a bumper sticker, and it said, "The Christian's retirement benefits are out of this world." I thought that was a good way to say it. But you know, it is true that we have a salvation package, and one day we'll be with the Lord in glory, and we'll realize all these things, and that's when the fullness of our salvation will be experienced. But there is a salvation package that we have right now that we're encouraged to appreciate and apprehend. And so part of that is understanding the fact that we have been delivered, we are being delivered, we will yet be delivered by His grace and His mercy. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, there is a passage that deals with the offering of the first fruits. And in that portion, and that's the rules for delivering this offering, is that the offerer would come and bring the offering to the priest. And then the priest would take that and offer it up to God. And then the offerer would then give thanks and say, "I was wayward, my father was an Egyptian," all these different things. But in that word of testimony came and brought the truth out that they had been wonderfully preserved by God. And that's what God expects us to do as well. So we're looking at the truth of our great salvation, the so great salvation. And in particular, the wells of salvation. And one of those wells is the cup of salvation. And the reminder and the commitment that we are to be a thankful people all the time, thanking the Lord, praising the Lord, and telling others of the great God that we love and that we serve in the presence of all His people. That's what we're to do. That leper who came back after he was wonderfully saved, came back and fell at the feet of the Savior and acknowledged what God had done for him. And that's what we need to do on a regular basis. Let us give praise unto Him continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. God tells us that we should be doing that all the time. And that's one of those commitments that we have in the Scriptures that we're reminded of as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father God, thank You again for each one here. Thank You for Your precious Word that does indeed speak to our hearts on whatever level it might be. Thank You, Father, for the Scriptures that encourage our hearts, that remind us again of our blessings in Christ, as well as our responsibilities to honor and serve our Savior. Father, we realize indeed that there is much to our salvation, perhaps far more than we ever realized, but it's incumbent upon each one of us to study the Scriptures and delve into them, just as one would seek for treasure, as Solomon reminded us in Proverbs. We pray, Father, we might indeed consider this and work to understand more clearly, Lord, the salvation that we have in Christ. We're grateful, Father, for Your goodness to us, Your blessings to us all the time, not only just in our salvation, in obtaining us the freedom from the penalty of sin, but Your ongoing work to deliver us from the power of sin and eventually from the presence of sin. So we thank You, Father, for this. We pray that You'd lighten our hearts, give us the radiance, the joy of the Holy Spirit as we draw from the wells of salvation. We give You thanks in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.